Blog Talk Radio.
The Ohio State University College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Science is a driving force throughout rural Ohio, and in particular, its South Centers, located in Piketon, Ohio. The South Centers provides research and educational formats in a number of areas, including horticulture, fruits and vegetables, soil and bioengineering, aquaculture, and business development services. Dr. Tom Worley, director of South Centers, hosts the monthly South Centers Chats. Here's Tom.
Good afternoon. Pleasure to be back with our South Centers Chat for November. And it's my pleasure to be here with a good partner in our programs today, with Don Branson, the executive director of the Southern Ohio Agricultural and Community Development Foundation. The foundation's headquarters and office is located in Hillsboro, Ohio. And Don, we welcome you this afternoon to our program.
Pleased to be here.
Great to have you.
Thank you.
Absolutely great to have you. Don is going to talk a little bit about the programs of the SOACDF, which is that acronym for that long name. But I would just point out that we do partner in a number of ways with Don, both Ohio State there at South Centers in Piketon, as well as Extension, and the General College of Food, Ag, Environmental Science that Don has been active in. So, Don, first, I think might be best, though, before hearing a little bit about your background, if you just helped us understand just a little bit of the history and how there is such a foundation and where it comes from.
Be happy to. If you go back to the late 1990s, the state of Ohio, along with 40-some other state and territories, through the Attorney General's office, worked with settling a lawsuit with the major tobacco companies. From that became known the Master Settlement Agreement. Mm-hmm. The MSA, as it was called, was the mechanism by which monies would flow from the tobacco companies to the different states for settling these lawsuits. Then it became the challenge of each state to determine how they were going to use those funds. So we were very fortunate in Ohio that through strong leadership both in the House and Senate, here in Gallia County, there was a very strong agricultural leadership group that were intimately involved in working with legislators, the Ohio Farm Bureau, to ultimately see that tobacco farmers and the community here received a portion of those settlement dollars. Some states, like West Virginia next door, Indiana to our west, the farmers there received none of those monies. So you had this big pot of money, and then it become, you know, how do we divvy it up and how do we best use those monies? In Ohio, though farmers got a very small slice of that pie, it's still important to realize that that still represented several million dollars.
Even for the foundation that
for
was
our
created.
Foundation, yes.
There were other foundations that took the bigger percentages or the majority of the dollars.
Indeed, and a lot of people don't realize that the Ohio School Facilities Commission, if you look around your county, look here locally at new schools that have been built in recent years and still ongoing, whether that's in the city or in the, out in the county, a big percentage of those funds were supplied by the School Facilities Commission, which came through the tobacco settlement. The Tobacco Prevention Use Foundation, biotechnology, which is now part of the Third Frontier. So there were several entities, commissions, boards that received some of this money, but we were charged with working with tobacco farmers, working with rural communities that have been affected by the loss of tobacco production, making strategic investments in those communities, and again, there was legislative oversight, and to this day, we're still doing that.
Sure, sure. So the Tobacco Foundation started in 19 or 2000. And
it started in 2000. I was hired actually in March of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So soon be 15 years. That's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, it was on like a 10 to 12 year lifespan, and you know, it had a finite time period. But I give our board a lot of credit for good fiscal oversight and the ability to stretch those dollars even to present day, or had that not occurred, then we wouldn't be here, actually.
Yeah. Good, good. The importance here, as we speak, from Rio Grande, where we're taping today, and Gallia County,
yes.
Kind of help us understand where that fits in with the major tobacco-producing counties, Don.
Sure. Well, when you look at the historical burley production in Ohio, Brown and Adams counties were the largest. Between those two, I mean, that was nearly 50% of all the production in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And again, keep in mind, Ohio, when you relate it to states like Kentucky to our south, we were a minor producing state. But mm-hmm. within Ohio, you look at Brown, Adams, then Gallia County, Claremont County, Highland County,
mm-hmm.
and then it started going down as you went to Lawrence and Scioto and Pike and so forth. And we kind of used that model as we determined you know, what investments to make, and again, where most of the production had occurred, and
mm-hmm.
and where most of the losses had occurred.
Sure.
I guess to kind of put it in perspective for us, if we overnight heard that nearly half of our income was disappearing, and how are we going to replace that? What were we going to do to keep our farms or our businesses
mm-hmm.
viable,
mm-hmm. our household,
our families together?
Yep.
I mean, that's not an overstatement, but that's kind of what faced the tobacco community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began looking at policies and programs and developing ways to offset that loss, not just to help folks diversify from producing tobacco,
mm-hmm.
but replacing the lost income from the sale of tobacco.
Right.
So those two really went hand in hand, and that was kind of the springboard from which our programs came forward.
Well, I think that there's a lot to talk about in terms of the specifics of the programs that were developed in conjunction with your board and with
yeah.
input from local communities and so forth, mm-hmm. but just probably help our audience a little bit, Don, to hear somewhat of your background and kind of
sure.
in preparation for carrying out this new foundation's mission and making it operational and make it successful.
Okay.
What you were up to in agriculture before then.
Okay. Well, I was fortunate enough. I was born across the river here in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a coal miner. I was raised pretty modestly, I guess you could say. Back in the late 50s, like a lot of folks from Appalachia, that transition occurred where the coal mines no longer provided the living.
Mm-hmm.
So they came to the cities in Ohio and other places to find work, and my dad was one of those that migrated to factory work in Cincinnati.
Okay.
He lived up here a year before our family was even able to move up here.
Okay.
And I say that just to kind of give you an idea, then ultimately... several years down the road, I was afforded the opportunity to be the first one in our family to go to college.
Okay.
I chose Ohio State. I've always been an ag kid, a rural, outdoor type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Ohio State, and I knew I wanted to do something in agriculture, agribusiness. I ended up majoring in ag econ, got my master's in ag economics. And when I graduated from college, I was fortunate enough to start in the dairy business and
mm-hmm.
work for a dairy co-op. And maybe that came from my getting up at 4:30 in the mornings to go to the university farm to milk cows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that was quite an experience. But anyway, started as a field rep for a dairy co-op back in the mid-70s. 25 years later, I... left as chief operating officer for the Mideast area for Dairy Farmers of America.
Mm-hmm.
Just a tremendous career, tremendous opportunities, and met so many people. We moved back to Southern Ohio. Somebody told me this foundation was starting. They were looking for an executive director. My first comment was, I have no experience with tobacco, knew nothing about tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And it really... it did not require that so much as it did an ag background and people and business and all of these kinds of things. But we've been fortunate to work with a lot of good tobacco farmers and businesses. And even today, I'm still involved with a lot of things at the college and serve as president of the State Extension Advisory Committee for the college and
work on your liaison committee
there in Piketon and Farm Credit Advisory Board. And one other one I'm really involved in is the Agricultural Initiative between Ohio and the State of Israel and on projects to foster trade and ag projects between those two countries. So
you were on a mission over there, I think.
Yes, and that was great. Just an experience of a lifetime.
Yeah. I think that facilitated some genetic exchange or beef cattle going over, or maybe it was dairy. I'm not sure which.
It was beef. We actually sent semen from some bulls here in Ohio to be inseminated to some cattle over there. Most recently, some embryos have been transplanted. Red Angus embryos from Ohio have gone to Israel.
Sure.
We've got our first crop of calves, and if we could ever get the BSE, the mad cow problem, straightened out, we're hopeful that eventually we could export feeder calves or beef products from Ohio to Israel. That would be great for Ohio agriculture.
Certainly. Well, I know that's at the heart of the Tobacco Foundation's work, is to help keep Southern Ohio strong in agriculture. And your programs have been devised to do that. But maybe even one more step before we get to the actual programs, Don, that probably be good to talk about. As the foundation was created, there was a board put together that became then the board of directors for the foundation, and that you work with on a very close basis. So you might want to share just a little bit about the makeup of that board and how they function with you as executive director.
Be happy to. Our mission statement, I guess you could even go back to our legislative mandate, was to, there was kind of four prongs to that. One, to help preserve soils and agricultural lands in Southern Ohio. To work with farmers that wanted to voluntarily transition away from tobacco production to other agricultural commodities, to provide educational assistance to tobacco farmers or their families, and then make strategic investments in communities that were affected by the loss in tobacco production, hence our economic development program. So those are the legislative mandates, the governance. We originally had 12-member board of directors, gubernatorial appointments. Four of those are ex officio. For example, the director of Ohio State Extension has a seat on our board, the Department of Agriculture, Department of Development, Ohio Rural Development Partnership. We have six farmers, some tobacco farmers, some non-tobacco farmers, a couple of economic development specialists. And even today, that's been added where we have four state legislators that are non-voting members, two from the House and two from the Senate. And they help us, again, set policy and carry out our goals of, you know, creating economic opportunities for Ohio tobacco farm families and the communities that they reside.
And I've had the pleasure of being a stand-in, kind of a substitute for the director of Extension many times. I always enjoy those meetings and learn a lot about what's going on across the communities in Southern Ohio and how the programs of the foundation are having that positive impact. So, Don, that it might be appropriate as we get here in the midstream is to kind of talk about how you've directed the funds, because ultimately most everybody understands that places like us, universities, we have a mission to do education and to do research. And, yes, that takes funds, but we don't have funds that we can actually invest.
Right.
This makes you different as a funder, as a foundation with funds that can be invested. So you
might share
a little bit about your role and how that works out.
Be happy to. You know, technically we're a state agency, but we're different in that these are not general revenue funds, as we talked about in the beginning. They come from the original master settlement agreement, what people call the tobacco funds.
Came from the big tobacco.
Tobacco companies into the state of Ohio. Then the state of Ohio decided how those monies were to be used. And, again, we got a portion, we, the farm community. we decided early on, when I say we, I'm talking about our board, our policymakers, that there were three signature areas that we wanted to concentrate on, that being agriculture, and we divided that up into what we call ag development, and now we have a young farmer program to help those younger guys and gals get started in a very capital-intensive business. Our educational assistance program, there are kids going to Rio Grande to get some scholarships,
right,
for lack of a better word, and colleges not only in Ohio but all over the United States to help defray a small part of that college education. Our economic development program works with businesses that are creating and retaining jobs. We've got some examples, many examples of those right here in Gallia County.
I think you've got a factory or a machine
tool
manufacturer.
Yeah, there's GKN Center Metals and down on Eastern Avenue in Gallia Police. They're a parts supplier for the automotive industry.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, it was the time when they were looking, after the recession, looking to whether they were even going to be able to maintain the facility here in Ohio or close it and consolidate it with other plants that they had in Michigan and around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, the grant that we gave, and with some several other things, helped dovetail into keeping that plant open.
Mm-hmm.
They have since expanded. There are quite a few actually farmers or members of some of the tobacco farm families that work there.
Employees. Yeah.
Employees of that facility. So it has actually grown, and just a few years ago they made another several million dollar investment in that plant. So that's one on the manufacturing side. If you go to the Dan Evans Industrial Park out here, you'll see Southern Hills Cabinetry. There's Silverbridge Coffee. There's RNC Packing, the slaughter facility. Red's Truck Stop on 35. I mean, there's just lots of examples of things we've done.
Right.
And again, we're a small part of that, but our investments help to leverage a lot of other dollars,
right,
and again, create jobs, and,
exactly,
and that's what it's all about.
Exactly, exactly. Well, those things are kind of nearby. They're about trying to retain jobs and create new jobs.
Yeah.
Within a matter of that project.
Yeah.
Some of your things, investment in farms,
right,
are for the long term, and you might talk more about the ag development, okay, and how that plays out, Don.
Our ag development program, all of our grants are competitive in nature. It's on a cost-share basis. We don't pay 100%. We can't. We don't have the funds to do that. But in the past 14-plus years, the foundation throughout the 22 counties that we are in, and really most of that's concentrated in 9 or 10 counties,
where
Gallia County being one of them,
acreage was
over $90 million have we invested,
mm-hmm,
$14 million of that here in Gallia County,
mm-hmm,
and we've leveraged over $200 million throughout the state. So it's been a huge economic impact,
mm-hmm,
when you look at those kinds of things, and it's been great. But what we seek to do in our ag development program, Tom, is to revitalize agriculture,
mm-hmm,
help folks make long-term investments that are going to impact the bottom line and keep that farm viable for years to come. It really kind of is in two or three categories, whether that's infrastructure,
mm-hmm,
you know, building something as simple as fence.
Mm-hmm.
And we've probably cost-shared on over 1,000 miles of fence in the past several years.
Mm-hmm.
Buying livestock.
New genetics.
Improve the genetics of the herd, which,
right,
translates into higher profits,
right,
and all of those kinds of things.
Right.
Buildings and barns and grain bins or combines and tractors,
mm-hmm,
things that are essential to farming operations these days. And again, if you priced any of those things, they're, you know, just keep getting higher and higher, and our part is a small part of that, but it's enough of incentive to help them make that next step. Our young farmer program, particularly the young farmer program for those young people between 20 and 38 years of age, to make them, help them make that kind of a big leap early on,
mm-hmm,
rather than 4 or 5 years to get there. Hopefully our investment helps them accelerate that,
right,
and gives them a head start in that process,
yeah,
of farming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of that can be a family operation, but
yes.
they're the next generation coming on that may be going to add additional rented acreage
yeah.
or purchase a farm. Or,
yeah, or just continue the existing farm.
Yeah, or here maybe, you know, get a wider planter that, you know, they can
yeah.
handle with less labor and so forth.
More efficient, more technology-oriented, those kinds of things.
Right. Then probably the longest-term kind of investment, which is you and I are kind of the result of that, education, and that's for a lifetime and something
yes.
that really pays off over the real long term,
mm-hmm.
and you've invested heavily in education and even, you know, in all kinds. So you could describe kind of
right.
the wide portfolio of investments in training programs all the way to advanced degrees that maybe your program has helped.
Right. Yeah, for several years we did a lot of the career training programs as well, but the bulk of it has been concentrated on the degreed programs, whether that's bachelor's or master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as long as it's at an accredited school, college, or university, it'd be eligible. Yeah, how do you measure that? I don't know, but I know that, like you say, in the long term, it's going to pay dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Tobacco production, even from very small farms, a lot of that money went to help pay the farm payment, to pay for some taxes that helped put kids through college.
Right,
the cash returns to help pay some of the college education. So we've continued that in a bigger fashion, and
mm-hmm.
It's been a very very popular program. A lot of kids, all kinds of majors, all kinds of schools all over, but
mm-hmm.
It's particularly rewarding when you see, you know, what's come from that.
Sure.
It is an investment in the future.
And I think that your program now provides a significant scholarship up to several thousand dollars.
We have two. We call the regular educational assistance is up to $2,000 per year, and then our educational excellence, which is very competitive, is $7,500, and that's the picture that you see there. And we have some of those.
But that many received that $7,500?
There was 20 kids each year that we do the $7,500.
Mm-hmm.
So we've invested millions of dollars in educational assistance. More ag has been our flagship program. Probably 60% of that $90 million has been in agricultural development than economic development and education. But again, investing for the long haul. I'll never forget one of the questions I was asked many years ago when I was interviewing for this position by a board member. Is when the foundation's over and at the end of the day, how do we consider it, how will I consider it to be a success? Well, you didn't know if that's a loaded question or what that was going to be.
We both know that. Yep.
But I thought a moment, and I still believe it today, that if we're able to improve the quality of life for people at the farm, in our rural communities, helping them go to college and perhaps get a better job than they might have otherwise,
mm-hmm.
then we've done our job, and I will feel that it's been a real success.
And I think we know that the roots run pretty deep here in southern Ohio,
yes.
and a lot of these young people that go off and get an education have a real desire to come back to these very communities and
right.
contribute.
And a lot of them, in fact, don't want to go very far away
right.
to go to college.
Right.
They go here to Rio Grande. They go to Shawnee or Ohio State or down to Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them just stay close to start
right.
with. And yeah, the hope is that more of them will come back and
right.
be invested in our local communities.
Well,
and
that's
and
how
work.
Things fit together, that if there's
yeah.
a vibrant agriculture economy and there's a local community and the in-town businesses can thrive
mm-hmm.
through employment opportunities that you've mentioned here in Gallipolis, all that tends to work together. So I think the board and yourself have done a great job of coming up with a multi-pronged effect that is both near-term and much longer-term and that kind of complement one another in terms of having this positive effect over the
Let me just say before we run out of time, if I may.
Surely.
Local connections is so important. Our work with the county commissioners, local economic development folks, again, the Ag Center, my employees, some of whom the original ones started, Jennifer Burns worked right here in from
yep.
Gallia County,
mm-hmm.
Founding board members Joe Foster and then Fred Deal. But the partnerships that we created then and now, working with Ohio State at the Endeavor Center, our,
mm-hmm.
our business team relationships,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of those things work to make our organization better.
Right.
We don't do it by ourselves. It takes a lot of that networking and interaction out here in the counties and the communities, and so we're so appreciative of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to be a part of it, a small part, admittedly, but that's our business team that interacts.
Yes.
That Don, through this application process for the ag development dollars, there's a business plan that's part of that application. So our team is well-versed in business planning and is there. Don provides some support so that we can focus on that for a couple months during the summer and help individual farm families with their business plan that's going in as part of that overall application. And so we appreciate the opportunity to work with those families and try to do our part from an education standpoint, because whether they get the money or not, I think educating people about business planning
and kind of driving that thought process,
to think strategically and more long-term and to do the cash flows that are part of that to justify the investment is all a very positive thing. So it is a great partnership from our perspective as well. And so we look forward to a continued relationship with the Southern Ohio Agricultural and Community Development Foundation and working with Don and all of the board members. And I think at this point, Don, we're just down to a couple minutes left, and leave it to you to kind of think further out as you look at the next 3 to 5 years or so. Is there any change going to happen in where this foundation is concerned, or any predictions that you want to touch on?
Well, I don't know about the predictions, but I do know that we do have a finite amount of resources.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, those will run out. So our goal is to hopefully work with the legislators and the folks in Columbus and locally to see if there's a way to get some new funding or some different kinds of funding to see the foundation go forward. It may not be and probably won't be based upon the historical tobacco theme as we've known it.
Right.
But I think there's been a very good model that's been put together and set down that could be followed. And so I'm not sure what the future is going to be, but we're going to be optimistic. There's been a lot of good done, and we just hope that it can continue, Tom.
Well, I think you've laid a good foundation for it, to use a word, and to build upon. And I think you're right that other communities in Ohio wish they had such a foundation.
Yeah.
They are envious of what you've been able to do. So with that, I just want to take just a moment and thank Don for taking a big part of his day to travel all the way from Hillsboro over here to be part of this. We so appreciate it. I think that our interest in the program called South Center's Chat is to highlight the partner organizations that we work with and some of the talent represented, and I'm sure that you get a good sense of that today, the depth of experience that Don has and the way that they've conducted the business. So with that, we will be signing off here in a few seconds, and we look forward to seeing you with the next South Center's Chat when that rolls around. Thanks, everybody, for being here.